This is the closing market report for a Friday afternoon. Eric Snodgrass is here, and if you'd like to see him in person, you can do that on Tuesday, the 6th day of March. He'll be over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Just dial 800-898-1065 or go online and buy the tickets for just $30. That's right, only $30, a dozen analysts plus Eric Snodgrass at the Beef House on the 6th day of March. Eric, I'm really looking forward to having you there and seeing what you have to say. Thanks so much for coming over to the Beef House, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be right around the corner, so we're getting ready.
Yeah, a bit more than a week away. Right now, though, we've got a lot of rain that's made its way across the Midwest, some flooding. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, you know, we saw a pattern shift about 10, 15 days ago that dipped a pretty deep trough out west. I mean, we even had hard freeze warnings there in the Central Valley of California, how deep that trough was. Basically, over us, we're building into this kind of broad ridge, and we're right in between those two features. So that's why we've seen the crazy swings in temperature right here in Illinois. But also, underneath that big ridge, we're allowing just a whole bunch of moisture to stream out of the Gulf. What happens is that moisture is kind of flowing parallel to the front. And all that means is you just get the rain over on top of the rain, on top of the rain, on top of the rain, until it just, well, it gets deep. I mean, we've already seen more than 5 inches in and around Champaign, and we've got over the next 10 days at least 3 more chances more rain out of this system. So it's not time to build an arc yet, but I would go back to the computer and look up the plans, because it's very, very wet right now where we are.
Well, can you give us an idea of what things look like going forward? Do we stay in the wet pattern?
Yeah, you know, one of the things we're trying to figure out here is how long do we stay in this pattern where we have the big trough out west and a rather large ridge along the east coast and points just in the Atlantic there. And there's some suggestions that we build in what we call a negative phase of the North Atlantic Oscillation. What the heck does that mean? That means we're going to end up building a pretty large ridge over Greenland, near Greenland, and a trough to the south of it. Now, why that's important is that could actually help push a trough out east. Now, what's the point of that? Two things. One, that would actually help to keep us potentially for a little while warmer than average here in the middle part of the country. It also keeps us a little drier than average. We're looking out here past, you know, we're getting into March. But what it does do is it pushes a very active storm track through Europe and very cold weather through Europe. And why that's important is most of this winter, all the way from France to the Black Sea, that area has had a mild winter so far. So imagine you had a really warm winter, and all of a sudden we're just going to be turning off the furnace and bringing in the ice. And that's what they're going to be getting. So there's some pretty big shifts going on there right now that we got to keep an eye on as we move through the end of February and get into March.
Update me on your thoughts as it relates to Argentina.
Yeah, you know, Argentina, we've been watching close, and we've been talking to you, Todd, for a while. You know, the problem is there that if you look over the last 90 days, they're at less than half of normal precipitation. And the models over the next 10 days keep coming in with a dry bias. And even when the models do show up for some precip, it always underdelivers. You know, we had a couple of rounds of rain last week. I looked at the data. I mean, it just wasn't widespread and heavy enough. And so, the continuation of their problems is certainly just going to keep going, at least through the month of March. And so we're now getting past the point where we can save that crop. And so, the numbers you keep hearing about Argentina, I can tell you from a weather perspective that they're kind of holding true there.
What's the latest on La Nina?
Yeah, you know, what we're seeing right now is that the La Nina, it's really kind of fading, and we expected it to. We've been forecasting that for a while, but this means we move into our spring and our summer with what we call ENSO neutral. That's where we don't have El Nino or La Nina. And why that's important is that that removes one of our players for our spring weather to be watching. But really, when we get into summer, El Nino, La Nina don't matter too much at all to our weather. Our weather is governed by other things. So I just want everybody to know we're kind of getting out of La Nina, heading back toward what I call ENSO-neutral conditions.
Can you take some time now and maybe look further afield? The things maybe we might talk about at the All-Day Ag Outlook. What do you see for the United States as it relates to our growing season?
Yeah, you know, when we kind of piece all of this together, we just think about what the market story is and what the future markets are doing. You know, we know what's going on in Argentina, and we know the Brazil crop is the second crop is late. We also know there's drought in Texas that didn't get relieved with all this recent rain. And so what we're going to be watching for is over the next couple of months, what happens to that drought in Texas? That'll be the first big thing we're going to discuss. Because if that drought's still there in June, I think we need to start worrying quite a bit more about it for corn production and soybean production in Illinois. You then want to add to that the fact that right now some of our best long-range models, like the European model, is picking up on a warm, dry bias for the state of Illinois for the month of July. Now, is this model perfectly right? Not a chance, but it's something we have to watch to see if the models are actually going to well, hold true to what's actually going to happen? Are we going to come close to them? Because in addition to the Euro, we've also got 8 models you run in the United States, and they keep a lot of that heat and dryness in the central plains. You combine that with an analog forecast technique. Well, what I see here is just a story that I think the market's going to try to tell, where we start to see the potential worry from, well, having a dry year or a hot year. Now, we have no predictive skill this far out in naming that forecast perfectly, but this is what we're seeing, and we got to keep an eye on it. So when we talk, on that Tuesday morning, we're going to be discussing, what those models are seeing. And then, what would be the response to that? And what we're going to see in terms of, potential hits on yields, and if it does come true. So we're just going to discuss all of it, put it all out there on the table so everybody knows at least what I know in terms of what the longer range weather forecast currently holds. So that's my plan. We'll get it all out on the table in March there.
And of course, the audience will be able to ask you questions as well. The All Day Ag Outlook is the 6th day of March. Sign up right now at willag.org, willag.org. And if you come early, you can see Eric Snodgrass. He kicks off our event. That's over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Hey, Eric, thanks for being with us today, and we sure look forward to seeing you in March.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible.